Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert Maxim was born in Cuba, moved to the U.S. as a teenager, grew up in California. After studying music, science, and religion, he devoted his life to write about his sleep time visits to other worlds and alien craft encounters, highlighting life's true virtues and purpose. In 2014, he published the first in a series of five legacy episodes, The Search for Love, followed by The Unholy Menace. His books have earned industry acclaim, making frequent appearances in news, radio, book fairs, and conventions. And he's back with us on This Week in America. Robert Maxim, our guest. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure, and we had tons and dozens of questions to get to, and we're going to try during this program to a little extra time on the show today and get caught up on some of these. Are you ready for Mr. Answer Man? Are you ready with all the answers to our questions here?
I aim to please. Let's go.
We will find out shortly, and here we go. Let's start with question number one on today's program. I believe in past lives, but I can't see any signs of mine, just dreams. How do I know if they are more than just random dreams and might be visions of the past?
You know, I hear that a lot. And believe it or not, I heard that from me too.
Interesting. So you weren't sure in the beginning what was happening.
Oh, no, I couldn't decipher anything. I learned that dreams are, for the most part, reactions and emotions from the past, compromised by present emotions and pieced together by the conscious mind. It's like you know, the mind adds symbols where it can't resolve what it feels. Pretty much just like, you know, you're walking down a dark street, dark alley, and you hear things and you imagine what it could be, or you see shapes in the dark and you see things. Dreams are pretty much the same way. These symbols come from your past, though, and they mean something to you subconsciously. So once you learn to objectify your thoughts, you'll gain clarity. If you use the mastery charts that are provided in the UnarianSUnited.com site, it will help you. It will help you get there. But don't rush. Don't rush in to see past lives. Learn to analyze your feelings first, and then past lives are going to come to you. Could be in the form of dreams. It could be wake state realizations, deja vus, you know. Because what you feel now comes from back then.
Interesting. So this is...
Phoenix.
Yeah, this is not a parlor game. This doesn't happen real quickly, you're saying. This takes a while to go through this process.
That's right. And feelings speak louder than visions. So got to keep that in mind.
Interesting. The website that Robert mentioned is UnarianSUnited.com. The other website, of course, is Robert's RGAETAN.com. Link on to both of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Another question, how do we deal with transgressions in past lives?
Ooh, that's a good question. Sincerity and forgiveness are key to success there. Sincerity and forgiveness. Now, I keep thinking back on the word transgressions. It has a hint of condemnation, and that's one reason I prefer not to use it. After all, God does not condemn. Never will. In Hebrew, the word pesha is a word for transgression, and it means doing things against creation's design until you learn not to. So it's not a condemnation. If you're not perfect, isn't error to be expected? Therefore, to deal with past lives, we must recognize and learn from past lessons and apply positive action. But we have to be careful. We cannot extort God. And there are a lot of people that think that that's the way out of their misery. No. Repaying or doing the infinite favors to be saved, that doesn't work. try extorting a police officer and see how that goes.
Exactly, exactly.
God is no different. We cannot define payment because there is no payment to be given in infinity. If you repay someone for your deeds, you could be inhabiting that person's life's mission also. Love is the only payment, and sincerity. The infinite inspires humility, and the only gift that you can give God is your heart, sincerity, and respect.
Robert Maxim, our guest on This Week in America, we are taking listener viewer questions. You can pick up the video portion by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, clicking on videos, or go directly to our YouTube channel. You can also go to our website and listen to past programs. This is, I think, program number 31 that we've done with Robert. So there are ways that you can listen to past programs, watch past programs. And by going to those different websites, you're also able to submit questions. So we'll try to get to your question during a future program. Argayton.com, you can ask a question there, or go to thisweekinamerica.us comments and ask a question as well. This is an interesting one here. Over the years, I have experienced deja vu. I can't shake the feeling that some things are predictable. It's like having a memory of something before it happens. Something happens long after my dream, like meeting someone 25 years after the dream, or having a car accident down to within 2 miles of the road where it happened 8 years after a dream. It feels like my future self told my past self that it happened or will happen, and my past self can't prevent it. Is it possible to use information from your past self to prevent future incidents such as accidents?
It's no accident or freak of nature. This is normal. Seeing future events, actually, to me, it helps build my confidence. But we must study the science of life to know what to do with this. Seeing is a signature of interdimensional mental scope. So we should not decline that opportunity. We should grow up on it. We should not think of it as something special, but rather something common among all creation. It's the norm. But we must remember that some life events or accidents do happen for a pre-planned learning experience. Prohibiting that makes you liable. So sharing the future may not be a good idea, too. I've had those experiences, and the one that I can think of the clearest is probably Benedict 16, and I saw that 2 weeks before that happened, and I remember the kind of like in a movie title, the big words Benedict X V 1, you know, just showed up there.
It was
actually humorous when I woke up that I saw that. I saw the chimney with white smoke. I had never seen the Vatican inside. I had never seen that chimney blowing white smoke, which means the Pope has been elected.
Yes.
So when I saw that on TV, I kind of elbowed my wife and I said, "See, I told you. I says, "You're just kidding." "Oh, no, I wasn't kidding, you know." So these things happen for a reason. And I've learned for the most part to keep them private, but I do pay attention to them.
Interesting. Again, if you have questions, let us know. Go to our websites. You can go to argayton.com or thisweekinamerica.us. Here's one. This is interesting. What is a soul that we talk about frequently? Is it distinct from your body, and can you change it?
We're changing it all the time. All the time. A soul, in most basic terms, is an individual's experience collective. I like to call it an energy collective because everything is energy. So it's just this infinite mass of energy that you've constructed and changed through countless evolutionary cycles by the process of experience. The soul is not the body, but it affects it. The body is like a transceiver. Imagine that it's like a submarine that you use to experience life beneath the spiritual surface, or a spacesuit to be in space. Okay. So the body's kind of like an Earth suit to be in this dimension. Now, you build it up from early conception and place your consciousness on it to experience this plane and all energies that you created here for purposes of correction. What most people don't realize is that the process of conception is actually affected by your own soul. And that's why many times the person has facial similitude to a past individual. It could have birthmarks. It could have wounds. It could have all kinds of issues, you know, limbs missing, whatever. And it's, if you understand how that works, then you begin to conceive, well, yeah, it's energy that's coming into this conception process, and that's how this vehicle, this spacesuit, is being built based on what you have to bring here. It's all very relative.
Fascinating answer. And this one, the next question ties in. Does everything have a soul, even animals?
Oh, yes. Great question. Everything is infinite energy, be it air, rocks, atoms, the soul. That's all intelligent energy collective. So everything is or has a soul, and nothing is solid. So everything is spirit, our soul, atoms, everything. We have to come to an understanding of what energy is. And every energy pulse from the creative infinite mind has intelligence. It is a soul. And what are we? We are, like I mentioned before, we're that collective of all that intelligence. So all this intelligence that we express are experiences that we have gathered from our interaction with infinity. So does everything have a soul? Absolutely. It's nothing too small or too big in infinity not to be called intelligent or living.
Interesting, Robert. Maxim, our guest on This Week in America, I'm letting that sink in. So, and I think if I remember what you said just a few minutes ago, soul is something that's changing, right? It's evolving as we do?
Constantly. And the reason we come here, our consciousness comes here, is to change the energy or the experience that we have gathered in this dimension. Don't forget, we're living in countless dimensions at the same time. So the process of reincarnation is to come and deal with this level down here. So you learn experiences on the inner worlds, on the higher worlds, and now you come prepared with a mission. You know, you have this bag of books, and you bring down into this physical
yes.
world. And you go through the different lessons. Well, I got to learn this lesson. You know, this guy did this too, and I got to fix that up. Oh, and I made a mistake with that. Oh, I got to fix that up. So you take care of all that homework in this life. Now you get a little, shall we say, school vacation, summer school. You leave this plane, you go back into the spiritual plane, learn some more, relax, come back down until you've overcome this dimension.
By the way, Robert Maxim's series Legacy is available. You'll find it at Amazon, certainly at his website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. We'll talk about that a little bit more because basically that's your life, and we've discussed that in the look up the Legacy series. It's a great read, and then you find out it's actually autobiographical. So you'll get information on that at Robert's website. You can link on directly by going to our website as well. Next question: When I have a premonition, even a gut feeling, is that a past life influence?
Oh, sometimes. It could be a memory, it could be an inner warning from the higher self, or it could be a realization of something that you must do. The way it feels is not necessarily what it is. The past and the future does influence what you feel, and it kind of muddies the waters. Reason why objectivity is pivotal. So some of these premonitions could be a recall of something that happened tens of thousands of years ago and something just tuned you right in. Or it could be a message from a higher self, like, okay, here's the case. I was a kid. I love bicycling and I love doing all of these bicycle crazy jumps. Yes, I was one of those. so I had this raggedy old bicycle, you know, I couldn't afford much. And in high school, we had this hill. So I go up this hill and then I jump off. And it was like a 15-foot drop, and I'm dropping down this hill, and then, I fly off at the bottom, and I had kind of like a little dirt ramp. I had done it, I don't know how many times, and so I approach the edge, and all of a sudden, I just get deathly scared. And I look down, and I've done this a million times, why am I afraid? I backed up, I'm just going to do it again. Pick up speed, get to the edge, dead stop. I mean, my hands were chilled, sweat coming out of them. And it was, why am I afraid? So, cut the story short. I did it a couple of times, but eventually I said, okay, I'm going home. I turned the wheel to go home, and guess what? Wheel came right off.
Wow.
And not only that, there was where the wheel actually broke. The metal stem broke, and there was this jagged edge coming off the body of the bike like this. If I had jumped, I would have gone right into me. So premonitions can be a warning from the higher self. So
you should listen to them then.
Yes, and as you can see, old Robert was kind of hard-headed, didn't get it at first.
Yes. And then you finally did and realized, okay, now I understand what the forces were trying to tell me. Interesting question. And we've talked about near-death experiences before. Several years ago, I had what I would call a near-death experience. Was that a glimpse of another life?
Well, a life beyond this one, in a higher state of consciousness, yes. A past life, chances are not. This NDE, or near-death experience, is actually a little window in the wonderful vacation that awaits us after we're done with homework here. So some people see it just up to a light in their return. Sometimes they get to see these beautiful celestial cities, of which there's numerous of them. And I actually have one, a video of one, of Venus, which is one such world. You can take a look at that and see what I've seen. It's just marvelous what awaits us there. So, yes, it is another life.
And you'll find that at Robert's website, R. Gaten. And you've got some great videos there, really well done, at rgaetan.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to get that. We've had a number of near-death experience questions that we'll get to over the course of the next few programs. I often hear a younger person being called an old soul. I hear that all the time. Are they really an old soul from another life?
It's a term applied to individuals that have had several past life events and lessons learned, because there's no age to the soul. The soul is eternal. So we can say it's an old student of this plane.
Interesting. Okay. That you hear that term thrown around a lot, and that was an interesting question and an interesting answer. Are birthmarks scars from wounds from another life?
Well, some are, but others are the results of wounds inflicted by us to others. Don't forget, what goes around comes around. So we always hear, or we want to know, what was done to us. My arm hurts because somebody clubbed me in the arm, 10,000 years ago. We always think what they did to us. But rarely we think about what we did to others. And many times we will show signs of what we've done to others, ourselves. We have to go both ways on this.
Robert Maxim, our guest on This Week in America, we are taking listener-viewer questions. New question, do you know how you died in past lives?
Oh, yes, all too clear. Right down to feelings, who did it, how it was done, where it was done. Sometimes I even felt the effects. So, terrible I've lived with some very terrible events. Gosh, drownings, arrows being shot, being burnt alive, illnesses, torture, old age. And not only that, I've also seen how I was born and where.
Now, how do you, wow. Well, you just said a whole lot there. You died a number of times, and you can recall how it happened, and your birth as well. How long did it take you to understand what you were seeing and realize that's you in a past life?
Oh, gosh. That must have been like maybe to really begin to get a good footing on it. Maybe 22 years of age.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're born in this world retools you. So you don't pay attention to these things. It's like the mind is stupefied. So you begin to, yeah, that's not important. No, just a dream. And I'm just imagining things. And parents especially said, no, you just had a nightmare. Not good.
Okay, it's more than a nightmare. It's a message that being relayed. When you are on a visit, are you in the future or in the past?
In higher dimensions, there is no such thing as a past or a future. So if I happen to visit a celestial world or another physical world that is on a different dimension, then I am actually in their time base separate from the time of our universe. It's a different clock. So I know it's hard to conceive, but let's think about this. When you see a past event, it came from memory, right? So if you see the future, as I explained with Benedict 16, that's a timeless message. So where are these messages coming from? What is the bridge that takes you to these different timelines? Well, it's different. It's of course going to happen from a dimensional aspect of yourself, and I know this can be a two-hour conversation, but that's really how a lot of this recall works. This memory is within yourself; you attune to it, but many times these messages are brought to you by different timelines and different dimensions.
There is so much that you throw out there as we're going through this, and we could literally do a program on every one of these questions and go back and I could at least and try to pick apart a little bit the answer and get a little more information. But we're trying to get through as many questions as possible. A lot of background information at Robert's website as well as the website unariansunited.com. If you have questions, and it's my fault that we're not moving through these quicker, but I'm so fascinated by the answers. It's like I want to go back and make sure I'm understanding that correctly. But get us your questions. We're doing the best job we can. Robert's doing an excellent job. I'm doing the best job I can to try to move through these. So we'll move on to the next one. And this is interesting. We just talked about death. Is there such a thing as death? I mean, I assume they're asking that like final. It's over with. It's done. You are not coming back. It's over. Is there such a thing as the finality of death?
No, it's just a brief curtain call. There is no such thing as death. Actually, this might sound hard to believe. There is no such thing as life either. Neither exist. We're built from energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. And you are energy. Thus, you are as eternal as the source of creative energy, which is God, from whence you have evolved. So consciousness, your awareness, never dies. And if you go to an NDE, a near-death experience, you will see that for yourself, that your consciousness did not die. Your consciousness went on. And when you were brought back, your consciousness replayed itself on this plane. Consciousness is eternal. So what we call life and death is just a temporary, shall we say, classroom visit. You go, say, to your biology class, and then the bell rings, and you go on. So that's what death and life are.
Robert Maxim with us once again on the program, taking your questions. One of those being, what is the point of knowing about past lives. And I'm assuming they're thinking that, okay, this is sort of interesting, but is there really any benefit to knowing about past lives? And you would say definitely yes.
Well, this might sound shocking to most listeners, but take what I'm about to say carefully. There is no point. Now, I need to explain that.
Yes, please do.
I promote the idea of knowing yourself first, and then the past will be revealed to you on a need-to-know basis. The higher self will show you past lives when you're ready, so you can learn from these experiences. Knowing past lives can set you back in your evolution if you don't know what to do about it. You must be ready for past lives, just as you must be ready for an exam. Otherwise, you're going to fail it, and you're going to incur even more past life duty, more homework to do. So everything in its right time. It's like the government has this thing they call need to know, right?
Yes.
So let's say you're faced with a CIA agent or whatever. You ask, well, what's going on here? And they'll tell you, you don't have a need to know because you're not ready, or you cannot, you're going to compromise that information. So the same thing with past lives. We should not go after finding out past lives. The first step is find out you. Find out what you feel. What are your fears? Analyze that. And when you do, and you're ready, and you have all the foundation for it, then, boom, the past is going to come.
So basically, sort out your present life before you start worrying about past lives.
Exactly.
Interesting. Robert Maxim, with us on the program, going through your questions. Talked about this before, a couple questions ago. Here's a question, phrasing it a little bit differently. How long have we lived on Earth? Have all of us been here in some form since the beginning? And what do you feel was the beginning?
There is
a lot
no
there.
Beginning.
A lot there.
Yeah, there is no beginning whatsoever. I know that in many religious interpretations, especially Genesis chapter 1, there is this belief that the earth, and this could be another 3-hour discussion, but trust me when I say that if you read the Hebrew, it does not say that the world was created in 6 days. It means something totally different. It talks about the destruction of Lemuria. It explains it very clearly. It even with Daniel 8 behind it, which is the only other passage that talks about those dawns and evenings. You can date back when Lemuria was destroyed. So there is a creative beginning that everybody has in mind. And I kind of sense that this is probably where this is coming from. And that's why I wanted to clarify that. But in the infinite is just infinite. There is no beginning. Hard to conceive. But knowing that, we can stipulate that everyone's stay on Earth varies. And actually, many individuals commute back and forth to other worlds. So now, let's take this up a notch. Let's say that you commute to other dimensions between lives. Let's say you commute to Mars, so you commute to Alpha Centauri or the Pleiades, whatever, and come back. Let's consider that what may be in your past now, in other dimensions, could be a future life.
Okay.
Let me rephrase that. Okay? So you have, let's say you lived in France. I'm not very inaccurate on that. You lived in France some 300 years ago. If you are born in a different dimension, that French life might still be, in because of time relationship, it could be a future life in reference to your life in France. Very, very, very difficult concept to conceive. See, past lives are sequential in this dimension, but not in spiritual dimensions. This means that your consciousness can experience past, present, or future lives, depending on the dimensional level it finds itself in, making this physical world even more so an illusion, and making a beginning definitely non-existent.
This question, I think, ties into this. Can how we live our lives now affect future lives? We've talked about past lives and past life transgressions and the impact they have on current lives. The way we live now, will this impact our future?
Yes. Your future also affects your present, if you keep in mind what I just said.
Okay, yes.
Just as the past. So consider your higher self is your future, because it's in another dimension. And it's there with you at all times, helping you adjust and overlay learning upon your past and present. So yes, your consciousness is in the present. It's down here. But your other conscious dimensional states can be in a past event or in a future stage at the same time. Again, in spiritual dimensions, time doesn't exist.
Robert Maxim's websites, rgaetan.com, rgaetan.com, and information at unariansunited.com. Great information there. Information on the Legacy series there as well. That's why I keep repeating it. You can also write a question to Robert that we'll address on the program, or you can do it by going to the comments section on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Next question, why is it a vast majority of people do not remember past lives? Or I will add, do they? They just don't know their past lives.
Well, there's the answer. Next question. You're getting good. Well, the norm, Rick, is to remember. And children do. But after the world retools them, like I was saying a while ago.
Yeah, so you're discouraged. You're discouraged from even having the thought that there's some significance, some meaning to what it is that I'm visioning or dreaming.
Yeah, and the thing is that we become mentally compromised. That's probably the best word. Everything just gets blown out, unsorted. Matter of fact, I had a son that at age 3 said that he was building a spaceship to return to Mars, his home planet. I didn't squash that at all. The thing is that he figured that out at a much earlier age in life than I did. I actually figured that out when I was 17. He did when he was 3. Did I retool that? Not at all. I helped him with it, and I encouraged it, and he was able to figure out a lot from it.
Now that's interesting. You really encouraged that thinking to his benefit, obviously.
Absolutely. Don't forget, we cannot interfere with another soul's evolution. We can only help it along by our own example.
And feed it, which is what you did in that particular case. Question, do you live your life with your next life in mind? So if I'm leading my life now, do I try to do good things so I get a better shot at it the next time around?
I do. And I call that keeping your eye on a prize, like someone once said.
Okay, yes.
Always thinking of the higher self and the brotherhood. They are the guides. There's nothing for me to dwell upon down here compared to what I've seen beyond. There's no comparison. So that is the prize, the celestial kingdom.
Robert Maxim with us on This Week in America, our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we encourage your questions. Like this one, I've heard it said that true happiness cannot happen until the mind has been cleared of all past conditioning. Is that true? And if so, how do we do that?
The listener is right. We've had so much conditioning over time, we can't tell the door from the knob. Sometimes
yes.
We push the knob and turn the door. That's not how it goes. We must come to desire. higher values. And that's how we move up. And that's true happening. So in order for us to be cleared of all past conditioning, we have to realize, number one, what is that conditioning? Sort it out, fix it, and then we can move on. Then we can have happiness. But happiness takes work and sincerity. And, you know, not all people are ready for sincerity. Sometimes it really hurts. It really hurts the ego. Those deflections can be very powerful. So once you go down that route, be sure you want to go down there, because what you'll discover may not be very pleasant.
So once again, there's sort of like flashing yellow lights, caution lights, as you enter into these areas. They're new areas, and you really need to be in the right frame of mind as you enter those, and understanding what you're entering.
That's right. And when you start discovering things about yourself, first thing is you'll want to cover it up. You won't want to see it. I've been to it. I still go through it sometimes, and I have to slap myself in the face and say, no, you will take a look. It's awful. It's, you know, gives me the yuckies. But hey, it's real. It's reality. It's what I've got. I have to forgive myself for it. I cannot condemn myself. I just have to understand that that is true. And if God has not condemned me for having those issues, then why should I? He's given me the opportunity to take a look at it. So let me take a look at it, be brave and honorable about it, and intelligent, and deal with it by understanding what you have and what you are is the first step to true happiness.
Our guest is Robert Maxim. After studying music, science, and religion, he devoted his life to write about his sleep time visits to other worlds and alien craft encounters, highlighting life's true virtues and purpose. The stories in the Legacy series, you'll find the Legacy series information at his website, rgaten.com, as well as, of course, at Amazon. Taking your questions on the program today, are my emotional issues now caused by problems in my past? How do I know?
Emotional issues do come from the past, but remain as issues until you learn to objectify and stop their fear and desire, just like I mentioned a minute ago. It's your own voice talking, so let it tell you what it wants, and don't hide it, don't block it. Let it talk, let it explain what it is. Are you emotional because you wanted someone to behave a certain way, or didn't get what you expected, or you wanted to promote yourself egotistically over someone else? That's usually the root cause of most of our problems, wanting something from someone. Do look into that possibility. Want nothing from no one, and then you will be free. That, people, is what I was talking about that sometimes hurts. That you look at a part of yourself, you feel it, and it just feels awful. But that feeling of awful is a change. It's good. No pain, no gain. And as the Marines say, pain is weakness leaving the body.
Next question, is one status in the afterlife a reward or punishment for our conduct during life? So if we feel miserable, is that necessarily because of something we've done in the past?
Well, not really. Let me phrase it this way. We make the afterlife by the desires that we have here. So to that end, yes. But we can't go where we don't like or understand. So you reap what you sow. If we follow the universal laws in creation, then creation will upgrade your post-life vantage point because you will be in sync with it. Be selfish and then drown in your own negative creation. You cannot be in a place where you do not understand. So you create your own present and future state of mind, whether it be here on Earth or in some astral or celestial plane.
So at some point, I'm thinking we sort of justify maybe erratic, problematic behavior and blame it not on current actions, current state of mind, but something happened in the past. It's sort of a scapegoat. Am I thinking of that correctly? It's okay, it's really nothing I'm doing now. It's something that I did back 220 years ago.
You are your past. So anything you do now comes from from back then. So there's a double indemnity there. You have your selection. Imagine that you're walking down the straight, narrow hallway. On one side, you have your subconscious, your past experiences. On the other side, you have the higher self. They're both talking to you. This guy says, I want you to go and be better than this person. The higher self says, do not interfere with that person. Leave him alone. This side will say, go and you have to convert this individual to believe the way you do. The higher self says, no, that's against the prime directive. So you're always in this hallway getting shot from both sides. You will never have a state of mind that is only the past. Wherever the past is, the future also is. You have like the little angel and the little devil on your shoulders.
Yes,
that is very true. So who are you gonna look to? If you hear the little devil, don't keep your face there. Always check the other side and find out, is this right? Is this wrong? And don't forget that actions alone don't necessarily create karma. Even as Jesus said, that just by thinking, the word was sin, but it's really you err. You add negation. You add an energy condition to your soul that you have to work out. So something to keep in mind.
A couple minutes left in the program. I've got two more questions that came in, and they're related to past lives, and then we'll pick up on a new topic when we're back with the next program. The first of the final two we'll get to today. When we are reborn, are we blank slates or do we carry scars from past lives?
You can carry scars, open wounds, missing limbs, mental disease. I think everybody in this world has that. Good and not so good thoughts, talents, interests, and lessons learned in between lives. So, yeah, we're not blank slates. You're in that hallway, and you got the past on this side hitting you, and you got the higher self on this side. So you are garnering what energy, what thoughts, what experiences you have in this dimension. You are all of that, but you also have this guidance coming from above. So you've got both sides. Now, as soon as you land here, you have past experiences that are waiting for you for your arrival, and they come at you like a freight train. They're sitting there and says, fresh meat. Here we go. what it tries to do is to diffuse what you learned in between lives.
Yes.
Because it doesn't like change. So that's why it's so difficult to be sincere, Rick, because the moment that you feel yucky, you don't want to be yucky. You want to be God. You want to be supreme. You want to be without any fault whatsoever. That's why this mission in this world is so difficult, and it starts with sincerity.
We've got time for one more question. We'll end on a positive note because this is a positive question. A lot of people with questions about past lives, and I'm sure this discussion today will prompt even more that we'll get to in future programs. You talk about negative issues from past lives that bring us into this life. Are there positive issues or traits from past lives that we bring into our new life? We talk a lot about the negatives that we carry. Are there positives that we bring into the new life?
Absolutely, we do. We can bring in talents from other lives. We can bring talents perfected or learned in higher dimensions, just as much as we can bring in gripes and negations from a past life. It all funnels together into this hallway, and you're hit from this side. You're hit from this side. But let's think of this now: your compassion toward others, following universal law, being selfless, sincere, Those are positive traits. You can turn any negative situation around just by thinking that way. Keeping your mind on these positive things will evolve your lower nature to the point that someday in the future, after several incarnations, you will be compatible with the mindset and corrective state of other beings in other worlds, and you won't have to come here. You'll be a permanent resident in a more positively evolved world. And after several more thousands or millions of incarnations, you may get to the point where you don't even have to live there. You can live now in a celestial state where there is no reincarnation. And that's called the joining, where your entire soul from lower to higher is now one celestial unit.
Good place to end, and we've covered a lot of ground on the program today, and we encourage you to submit your questions. Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M, our guest on This Week in America. His website is rgaetan.com, rgaetan.com. Information also at unariansunited.com. You can link on to both of those by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Thinking about asking a question, and I hope that you are, you can do that by doing so at Robert's website or our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we will try to get to those on upcoming programs. A lot of good questions today, covered a lot of ground, people giving a lot of thought to past lives and how to deal with that, and we've touched on that greatly on the program today. Robert, as always, a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again. I urge people to get information on the Legacy Series because it is a fascinating and insightful and enlightening read. You'll get the information at Robert's website. Robert, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Covered a lot of ground today, a lot more to cover. We've got more questions that have come in, and I'm sure we'll have more between now and the next time. Thank you for being with us on the show.
Privilege. Thank you, Rick. Thanks to your listeners also.
You're welcome. And once again, all the information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages. Please stay tuned.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.